Hey, thanks, Cameron. Okay, so System Center Universe 2016. It's an honor to be here to help do the kickoff across both the kind of combined sessions. And, you know, I just was out looking at, last night we met and sat down with some of the speakers, and I know quite a few of them just personally over the years, and I'll say, what an amazing set of engineers that are pretty hands-on with all of our products. The amount of time they spend tweaking and extending and really just learning with our teams is great to be able to have these System Center Universe sessions to help give you that insight. As Cameron was mentioning, I also think it's really good as I was sitting down at breakfast just kind of watching, I can't stress how important it is as all of you are here to really just spend some time mingling and socializing and having the conversation about the shifts that you're seeing in the industry, the challenges you're facing as you run your business, and just the different technologies, because it's the community around Microsoft and community around the partners that we have and the technologies that I think really help bring together the advantages of working with such a large company that has many, many technologies, whether we're talking Windows Server or SQL, Azure, the Config Manager, and the rest of the System Center suite. So make sure you're spending that time together. Now, I was sitting here thinking about System Center. This, as Cameron mentioned, is near and dear to my heart. And so that was part of the conversation we wanted to have today, is just give you all some insight to how I'm thinking about System Center and the data center management side. And near and dear to my heart, we've got a lot of teams that I work with, but I've worked with System Center even on the IT side well over a decade ago. In 2003, 2004, I was responsible for running some pretty large services. And our teams, as many of yours, we were out building our own management infrastructure. I mean, handling the scale of, you know, how do we roll out worldwide? How do we handle 300 million users on some of the services we were running? And my teams just started to really be stretched. We were responsible hands-on on the services like Hotmail and Messenger and others. And we really started to go build our own infrastructure. And my own engineering teams would build infrastructure for how to think about monitoring or how to think about getting different logs and data across the system and alert people when it was happening. But we started to run to a scale point that we just couldn't keep building the core platforms and managing the systems or running the systems. And so we started at that time on the engineering side at Microsoft, or the development side, we started to go work back and forth with the System Center teams very early on. This is 2000, pre-2005. And later, those technologies, you see influence coming into the 05 and 07 release. But we also started to go include System Center Ops Manager, MOM at the time, and Config Manager, a bit of SMS for the old schools. And we included those in our management cluster, in each of our management rack, in each of the major clusters around the world. And that saved us a ton of time as we were able to start to extend and leverage this power of the technology stack we had. And so while not directly in the System Center product group at the time, we were starting to really think about how we could leverage those. And those technologies later spanned clear out to what we called Global Foundation Services that ran all the MSN and Windows Live services and were the underpinnings for how we started to extend and think about it as a kind of a core offering. So, man, it's been well over a decade on that. I joined in the 2007 release, and the real view for what I was trying to do is not only help bring the engineering expertise into the System Center product suite, but also to really start to think about how we could modernize the infrastructure, how we could come with a completely different world. At the scale that we were running and we later saw with Search and Bing, bringing in with the early views of the Azure, we're just dealing with a mass amount of compute infrastructure, and how can we change the game for how we think about management? Me being driven from a cloud-first world, it's where my center of gravity really was, building cloud services. How can we help influence and bring that into the platform, the technology? So as Cameron mentioned, I'm responsible for the overall data center management strategy at Microsoft. That portfolio of products that help think about how we manage the data center. And so I get the opportunity to work with many, many teams that are around the globe that build the tools that you run on every day. And so we're in a pretty big shift right now. And this vision that we've got the teams working on that is really about how do we accelerate the transition of the world's IT to modern cloud management. You're in a world where you have a ton of infrastructure today, but the models and the way that you've been working over the past 10 to 20 years is in a significant shift right now. I get the time to spend, I'm on the road quite a bit. I'm either on the phone with the or in what we call executive briefing center, where we do executive briefings, and I get to meet with a lot of the top companies around the world and their CIOs and their IT pros that are down in the organizations as well as the development. And we talk a lot about this, and I'm seeing it happen. Companies are starting to evolve fast. And the technology is starting to evolve in such a fast way that it's changing the way that we need to think about how we operate. And in the earlier session, you saw a bit about how they were thinking about how can we minimize the infrastructure inside a company's environment. And this is core to the heart of how I think about moving you and moving our partners to this modern cloud management model. So it really is about how I can help you become faster, how we can think about being more innovative, and then how you could ultimately provide more customer value. And I can't stress enough that as I get out and look at the companies that are starting to make this shift, we're in a pretty secular change right now. You're gonna see everyone really moving quickly, and the technology is gonna jump us to this new modern approach. So when I think about this, there's a ton of pressure that's out there. Now, we do a lot of customer conversations and surveys as well, and I pulled this data out of Gartner, since many of you leverage and look at companies or analysts like Gartner for the data. I completely agree with these two trends that they call out. We see it from our own perspective. The first is that 50% of the IT spending will start to happen outside of the formal IT organization. I'm seeing this happen in marketing divisions. I'm seeing this happen in other app development divisions where they're just directly going out, they're directly getting the tools that they need. They're going out and getting these point solutions, or they're looking at getting compute capacity in any way they can. And it's a little bit of just about how fast things are going to be moving as that spend comes from IT, outside of IT. The other major trend that we see is just where the servers are. We're watching, we can see where the server deployments are happening. And I agree with this one as well, that a significant chunk, Gartner says only half will be in the enterprise, but we see a significant chunk of the new workloads being built outside of what's traditionally the enterprise data centers. We're seeing Microsoft ourselves buy and build out massive amounts of servers. I could almost see internally as us as being a top OEM for ourselves as we go out and build and get these infrastructure out for just our own Azure compute. But in addition, as these workloads start to look at how we move to the cloud or how I move to other service providers, those servers that were managing the workloads in the past are starting to shift to other areas. And because of these shifts, and because of the vision that I have about getting you to modern management, we have to start thinking about System Center and the management stack that you've been all running for quite a while. When is the time to start to do a pivot? When do we start to look at new technologies, and how do we start to do that change? And so that change, we've started right after the 2012 release, 2012 R2, you started to see us pivot to be able to move quickly into that space. Now, you've heard me a little bit about this kind of pressure is driving change. And so we've talked about just your business and the turbulence that they're facing. We look at this just as I look at when I have to pivot with my management technologies. We also see businesses doing this. I mean, when I checked in today, when I purchased the tickets, we checked in on the tickets, or checked in on the flight, moved my seats on the flight, checked in on the next flight, all from within my phone. That airline is becoming a very much of a software company. If they didn't do that, I would be finding another company or another airline to go. And so as I think about how the industry is changing, these known traditional companies are under attack and under an assault on just the pure amount of other new startups and people that are coming through. And so software is going to be a key point of that. And so as they face this turbulence of the industry, they're also going to have to think about how they innovate. And the ones that will survive the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years are the ones that are going to be able to figure out how to break through this innovation. I'm seeing with even in the financials, which traditionally we may think of the financials as, I mean, very, very advanced infrastructure, but also very cautious and slow at when they make their changes. There's a mass amount of innovation that's happening here as they really start to go embrace DevOps and how the development and the new IT organization start to kind of work through it. Yet from an IT perspective, many of us in the room, we still need to think about stability and predictability inside our environment. And that's an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity. I hear all the time, there's, oh, my IT, the IT role might change or it's going away. I just don't believe it. It's how it evolves. It's how you need to think about evolving your role in your company, and we're watching people shift. Just 2 weeks ago, one of the guys on the team stopped in, and he had a conversation with someone who started to use some of the new tech. And what was great about it is he came in and said, man, I actually got a promotion and I'm moving on to a whole nother separate role now thinking about how analytics works in my company. And so what we're doing as we think about that pivot is really helping you have that new stack. So IT is core about stability, but this common thread, regardless if it's the developer, the CIO, chief security officer, the IT pro that we're talking to, and we talk to them all, there's a common thread that's about how fast can we move? Help me move fast. Help me deal with the complexity of this environment and all these tools. Yet help me get cost efficiency and tell me how I need to change the processes. And right now out in the industry, you'll see everyone's talking about different elements of this, and it's going to take some time to unfold. When I think about your guys's, when I think about our customers' world and your world, it's really going to be about straddling these two worlds. The way you'll hear me talk about it, and you'll see us reference it in a lot of the literature, is this traditional and cloud model world. Okay, with the traditional world, this isn't going away. You'll often see, we'll talk about, well, do I treat this completely as an island now? Or they'll hear other noise around, this just goes away and heads over to the cloud model 100%. You're going to be straddling these for a while. And so this was a pivotal way or a key point for how we think about the investments that we're doing with System Center Management is making sure that we're straddling and allowing us to straddle both of these elements. I have to go work and I have to invest inside the cloud model. You want me to as technology advances and you get the latest and greatest and the coolest tech stack. I want you to have that. You shouldn't have to go find some point solution that doesn't work well with other things, or later we'll see, you know, don't know if the company will be in business or not. You need to be able to bet on Microsoft to help you get some of this new and cool technology. And so I'm betting on that cloud model, yet your traditional environment is not going away. Just because the workloads are moving to the cloud does not, there's a lot of workload and a lot of responsibility and a lot of infrastructure that'll still stay there. So it's my role and our teams that are working on it is how do we best help you straddle these two worlds. In the traditional world, you've had to think, and you still will, but the core focus has been about your infrastructure, all the way down to the physical hardware and everything around that, and it really starts to center around that infrastructure. In the new world, as we start to think about it, it's really centered around the application and the guests. So the instances and nodes that are managing those PaaS and IaaS systems out there, and how do you think about the guests and the things that are supporting that overall application? You're going to see in the new world microservices, containers and other elements start to come into play, and we're able to just go in and look at GitHub and other areas and start pulling components together to build our new applications. And so we've got to think about that, and it's really just geared towards speed is the way I kind of think about it. So you're going to be straddling both worlds, and the investments that we're making are clearly, when you think about System Center and System Center 2016 coming down the pipe this summer, it's really going to be focused in on that core is right there at the heart of your traditional environment. Yet you're hearing a lot of new capabilities starting to come from the cloud, whether it's notions like Intune or other services we've done on the data center side that are helping us start to move towards this new model. They will work together and complement each other. Yet they will also go focus in these two areas. Now, modern investments. Let's switch over and talk a little bit about the stack and the tech itself. two layers to this conversation that I think about when it's in my mind. First is the inner circle, just this life cycle. The life cycle that supports the tech around it is under a significant shift in itself. Now, you may be looking at it saying, man, monitoring and protection, backup, security, these are all things that I do today. Yet the way we do them are changing significantly. And so we're starting to go really look all the way up from the build and config space. And as we look at this side, man, what a ton of change that's happening in here. Whether you're on board with our container investments, Microsoft or Docker-based, you're looking at the overall how the developer builds the container or how you as IT can leverage the container capability, or the value of infrastructure or code and really getting a lot of the ability for you to use configuration or the developer to use configuration upstream and then push into the environment with a variety of different tools that are out there, whether it's DSC or other technology or by other partners and vendors. These things are going to continue to be churning over the course of the next 5 years. But this is a significant shift that's happening right now in a lot of the key playing companies. Config will still remain inside. You'll still have infrastructure as well that isn't going to be able to be touched or configured upstream by a developer. And so you still have that core area of config that you need to be watching. But this is one key area that's causing a shift all the way around the rest of the circle. Now, monitoring is going through a big one as well, just on the sheer thoughts of analytics. Gone are the days where we're worried about one specific piece of data and tuning that one alert on one machine to be able to get it in. You need visibility into it all. And so now the advancements in technology, especially the power of the cloud that we have, allows us to start to really have this vision of big data and analytics to go look at it. I can't tell you the number of times that my teams would spend remoting into boxes, writing custom scripts to just go see how prevalent a specific error was. And so as we start to go have this now capability of analytics, you start to be able to pull all this information together. And then up the rest of the side, backup and recovery, secure and govern. The secure and govern are two major areas that I think are becoming more and more important to all of us on the IT side. There's a mass amount of, we cannot ignore the security side of the house. This is no longer a security expert's problem. It's now all of our problem. We need to be thinking about it across all of IT, and it needs to be connected into this, and that's the main shift we're seeing there. And then govern, as your development teams and your businesses move faster, how do you help provide a visibility into policy costs and subscriptions, yet not be in the way? And these are the core areas that we're looking at as we do our modern investments. Now, as we've started down at the bottom of the circle. We've really been pushing heavily on the monitoring and the protect side of the house. And those are key elements that we started to work with Azure for a good couple years as we're doing management and thinking about how we handle the Azure scale. And as we've proven those services out, we rolled them to you as individual components. You've also seen us do that with an automation engine. Azure Automation is now included as part of our overall management, both for the System Center and to Azure. And that, again, is us proving out our technology stack, because building these services at scale and building them in the cloud, it takes time. And we've known just from the teams that have been building scale for quite a few years at Microsoft, it really does take time, and you run into scale functions that you have to step up and architect for. So these are the core areas as we're thinking about it. And you'll see over the course of the next couple years, as we focus in on these areas, we'll be working with our partners as well to help bootstrap and establish the core areas around this. We believe you should be able to connect into, like in the governance, if you've got other solutions like your ITSM or service desks, we want to be able to connect into those to help you connect to whatever you already have in existence. Okay, so when I think about the teams and how we build in this, there's really three areas, three ideologies and promises that we've set the team off to go do. Speed, flexibility, and simplicity. I didn't pick these words. These words we're hearing it loud and clear from the customers that we've met with. I had the teams go out last year over the holiday, and we were able to pulse over 650 customers and really just look for what that common thing that people are looking for. And so these are the pieces that stood out. Now, it's the interesting piece is the kind of the details underneath each one of these is kind of how are we thinking about it? First is setup. We want you to be able to take advantage, and you want to be able to take advantage of technology without having a six-month install time. I shouldn't have to go get budget, find infrastructure, beg and borrow to get something out to do a proof of concept that a year later I don't know if it's going to be successful. You don't want this from any vendor. And so this is part of the movement that you're seeing inside Microsoft, and a lot of the work I'm doing with System Center is how do you think about making this setup and find time to value within minutes. Some of the new technologies that you're able to come in, sign up and start using for free. You don't need a license, just come in and start using it. If you're a System Center customer already, you've got it connected, you can go into something like SCOM and connect right to our services and be up and running. We challenge the team to be 15 minutes to time to value by the time you get in and get it set up and start to go look at it. The next one is just speed in your troubleshooting. How fast can you actually start to find problems and correlate against information? And last is real-time innovation. When I think about this, it goes two ways. You want my engineering teams to be able to move as fast as they can. You want features. You don't want to have to wait 3 years. And so our teams we've reshifted the whole approach much to a lean development model like you'd see in the startups, and we roll. And we want to be able to do that, and you want to be able to take advantage of those capabilities without having to do major migrations, major lift and shifts, and you want to be able to take the capabilities when you're ready. And so you're seeing us do a little bit of this work in both all the System Center products. Over the course of the last year, we've been doing update releases. Update releases are now bringing in features as well as bug fixes. And then with Config Manager, now you're starting to see us be able to have service releases so you can choose and pick. But from a services point of view, you get the features immediately. I mean, there are times I'm doing demos and working with the product, and a new thing is there. And I'm surprised. I didn't know they were that far along. So that speed. Flexibility is you want to be able to connect to your existing tools. So we've really been working on a platform that allows us to get to those existing tools and then allow you to add your own custom solutions and data. Again, flexibility, whether you're running in the cloud or traditional or doing both. And then simplicity, really thinking about how do we make this easy just as we look at dashboards and visibility, looking at how we reduce your management infrastructure. I can't tell you how many times I walk into a customer's environment and the first thing one of the top things they tell me is, man, I have a ton of this management infrastructure that I'm having to maintain. I just want out of this business. How can you help me get out of this, but still have the management capabilities I need? And so we're actively investing in a lot of that, and you're seeing that with our cloud services. And why I want to accelerate you to that cloud model is it's really going to help save you a lot of time, money, and later position you as you go full into the cloud. And then cohesive solutions. I shouldn't have to have a solution from Microsoft or any of the other partners that don't start to work together. And so this is a tough problem for us to solve, but it's one that we're directly solving inside our stack. And we'll also start to look at how we can get these a partnership and an ecosystem to help bring these solutions together. So we're making technology bets, like some of the work we're doing with Linux and FluentD helps us connect into that ecosystem and help these solutions instead of having yet just a disconnected agent or a disconnected way to communicate with Linux boxes that's not supported by the community. So these are the core things that we're off working on. Now in May, we launched the Operations Management Suite. So we stood up at Ignite. We're pushing a good 8 months here, and we launched the Operations Management Suite. That Operations Management Suite is a pure cloud offering for management. It's new this year. You're seeing it start to come into your accounts. You're seeing our as you come through with your System Center licenses, you've got a capability to do an add-on to that. This capability, like I said, is delivered 100% from the cloud. And what this does is it allows you to have a cloud service that manages and has the ability to have the visibility and control regardless of where that app and those workloads are running. Remember, earlier I'm like, look, things are changing. It's not for us about, as we think about these modern, the infrastructure, the physical gear. this is shifting, you know, when you typically tie things to physical gear and cores and procs, this is shifting towards those guests, those instances, those nodes that are running and supporting the application. It's fully hybrid. I can be managing workloads that are sitting on Amazon. I can be doing and managing workloads or those VMs that you're migrating on Azure. I can do it as it's sitting inside my own environment. Whether I have System Center or not, the operations management suite will work. Yet you'll see on the slide at the bottom, we call out the on-premises with System Center. And this is a core piece of how we designed this at the start. We connected them together to help provide the ability to complement them and give you new tech as quickly as we can. And so this is one of those things that I get asked a lot, is it something completely separate? And the way that I talk about this is, no, they're a complement to each other. We're packaging them together right now with the add-on value. Yet it's also allowing you for your cloud, as your workloads move to the cloud, you can make your choice how you want to handle that tech. And so this was a big launch we did in May, and at Ignite, we're seeing a massive amount of interest, all the way from trial users to heavy users that have moved thousands of servers onto it, and they're using a variety of different components within the operations management suite. And when you think about those components, it's not just analytics, which a lot of times we think about, and it's not just backup. We've got a variety of solutions, which I'll get in and show here in a bit. And it also has the core element of automation, really bringing this stuff together. So let's flip in and kind of take a look at this as a deeper dive into the hybrid management, why that's important. I've hit this one already. This is a better together. Operations Management Suite and System Center, we want them working together. This will be how it goes over for the course of the next many, many years. You'll see them connected. You'll also see the operations management suite and the services within it, the anchor services, still be able to run independently if need be for those that are ready to move to the cloud and or have workloads in the cloud that need a different system. But as I start to break down visibility, I'm going to spend some time walking through how the components work together. So inside visibility, you're familiar with SCOM. When you think about operations management suite, it adds the capability for analytics to the overall view. And this is really where I can start to get the data correlation and across. We've got alerting now connected between the two systems, so I can start to get my alerts up into OMS, and you'll also start to see alerts from OMS being able to make them back into your ops manager. Again, giving your choice, but the real value I see here is the analytics and log management. The next piece that we have is control. This is where you start to think from your System Center components, this is where Config Manager sits. Now, I'm responsible for the data center side of the house. When we think about Config Manager, we use this a lot, and many of you do as well. A lot of it is I'm trying to do my desired configuration, trying to understand where my config state is, and where I'm at with patching. And so you'll continue to see Config Manager as a core offer into that area. Yet we've also started to go add work inside the Operations Management Suite that gives you visibility across all of your configuration, all of your change, what's going on with your patch, your endpoint protection. All of it is starting to come up in the cloud to really ease some of the pressure and ease the need for your reporting and analytics. We also have done, this is where I put the orchestration. So in System Center 2016, you'll have really two elements of orchestration. You've got Orchestrator, which has been in the suite for a good, many years, and is well known for the runbooks and the orchestrated tasks that we have. That'll continue to be in the suite. We're investing heavily up in what we call service management automation, and that is a really PowerShell-based workflow engine that we've built. We've built it for the on-premises and in the cloud. Now, in the cloud, we've added graphical authoring over the course of the last 8 months, and we continue to build on top of that. Earlier this week, we announced we've GA'd in the cloud the desired configuration, so that you can help proactively set the configuration from the cloud and then monitor those across your environment. So that helps you start to go drive what we've put native in the platform of Windows with PowerShell and DSC helps you drive in that. So you'll see these two start to go work together between the environments. Okay, so next we run into protection. So the heart of our protection on-premises is DPM. What we've done, and this will continue to work. Now, what we've done in the cloud is we're starting to go look at how we can help with the visibility across all your DPM services or servers and groups. But we've also have a very unique piece here. Given our experience running Azure and the amount of infrastructure we have with Azure, we now have a unique opportunity for you to be able to take your workloads without all the tape and manual or the additional infrastructure and start to back them up to the cloud with a much cheaper option. And so you're seeing backup really take off right now as it becomes one of the primary drivers inside on Azure that's taking these workloads and helping back them up. And so that's a much cheaper path that you can go. We can handle our storage. I mean, leave the infrastructure up to us on that front, and we'll maintain the storage, and the costs of it are way cheaper than the on-premises side. Now, in addition, we have disaster recovery, which allows you to use the service to fail from one site to another. So in your own data centers, I can have DC or location 1 and location 2 or cluster A and B, and then you can use our service to replicate across the both, between both areas. We've got data centers around the globe to leverage our infrastructure that we've built. And so those are it's a unique twist to how we think about our backup and how we think about our disaster recovery that's a bit different than many of the other great partners and vendors that we have that work with us on the protection side. And then lastly is the security around this. Like I said, we can't ignore the security at all. I mean, this is a big area. But you've seen Microsoft, or if you've paid attention, we've been doing quite a few acquisitions in this space. Advanced threat analytics, behavior analysis, these are all core elements that we're really putting into both Windows 10 as well as our security offerings. And so you'll see us bring this information in more and more into the overall management offerings. So this is an area that not only are we thinking about baselines of configuration, patching and endpoint protection, but also that advanced threat and really starting to do the analytics around that advanced threat. It's amazing the amount of threat intelligence that we've already started to go work with the ecosystem, as well as the threat intelligence we get from our own attacks that are coming at us every day. So you see our services being attacked. You're seeing all the stuff we have to do to protect even our own infrastructure. And all that exhaust we can start to leverage that will bring to value to you. Now, we launched in public preview in November a thing called Azure Security and Azure Security Center. Those capabilities will start to show up inside the OMS, the side of the OMS, which will be able to be connected to the rest of your system center this spring. So they'll start to come into preview coming this spring. And then last is this whole notion of it's all about application management. Right, at the end of the day, for you to go manage the apps, you need to be able to get visibility across your apps. And so you'll see us, we've got plenty of investment inside System Center with the APM work that we did in 2012 R2. And we've been doing a ton of investment with App Insights over on our Visual Studio side. And you'll start to see this information now coming together. And so you start to get this nervous center of all the information coming together to help you troubleshoot. And you need to be able to switch context across. So you'll see us continue to do that investment with the applications. And so you'll see App Insights. You'll see the work we're doing with Visual Studio across the company, as well as what we're doing with dependency and application monitoring and network to help with that. So these are all things that will start to unpack. Now, why don't I just get in and show you a little bit of what we're talking about on the OMS front. So I'm going to flip over and do a demo and do just kind of a quick run through of this OMS. Not going to spend time on the System Center since we're at System Center Universe. We're all experts in System Center. So I'm going to flip over and just spend some time showing you this new capability centered around some of the themes we just talked about. So first off, you can go to microsoft.com/OMS, longer URL after it, but that's your short one. It'll take you to the overall site. And this overall site, when you think about kind of the core elements of what we have, is log, automation, backup, security, compliance, everything that we've just talked about, and you can sign up and come try it for free. You're going to see me moving around the screen a little bit just so I can help kind of zoom into areas given the font, and I'm going to spend some time in search. So as I log in, I'm going to go ahead and refresh this just to make sure we have a fresh connection. As we look at the overall OMS, the first thing you're going to see is these tiles or solutions. Now, solutions for us are how we allow our partners and allow us to try to start to create ready-made intelligence without you having to be an expert in data science. We don't want to just give you all, you know, we want to give you all the data, but we want to help you make some sense out of it. And so we've been listening to you. The team has this notion, if you look at the bottom right, this thing called feedback. The team listens. It's user voice. You're able to come in and vote for what features you like. If you see a new feature come and then it go, it's because of the feedback we're getting from our customers real time. And this is a change for the way we have the teams doing the development. So use this, and as you're using it, make sure you're using user voice and give the feedback in. Each one of these solutions shows up in a solution gallery. And inside the solution gallery, we'll have a variety of these that start to pop in. We'll have in right now, these are things that are starting to pop in as teams are building their own. You'll notice even there's a Surface Hub one now. For those that know what the Surface Hub is, the Surface Hub team went out and helped allow you to start to get insight even to devices like the Surface Hub. The notion here is that you can extend this to how you want. We've got a variety of these come that are either available to you now or that are coming soon. For example, you'll see the app dependency monitoring says coming soon here. And we have a private preview where a handful of customers already have that in their hands and have started to go play with it and work with it. And so you can start to go work with the teams to get on the private previews, get on our blogs, and you'll find out how to sign up for them. But we've got a variety of things that have been done. AD assessment was a big ask, and we worked with our premier team to go do that so that they took the expert or their expertise from support and premier guys out in the field to put this together. So if you've looked at any of the risk assessments that you may have out there, this is the same team has put the knowledge into this. And so our intent is to start to build a platform and a foundation for you to go put these in. And so over the course of the next year, you'll see us enable more and more of this with the community and your own customization. So let me jump back into this. We'll just do a quick little tour of this notion of how we kind of correlate data. So I'm going to skip over, and one of the, you know, I'll say some of the big drivers of usage that we see right now are changes in the environment and updates. I really need to understand what's going on with the updates in the environment. So as we drill into this solution, you can see that we start to give you a view on the far right. We've got commons queries to help you get going if you really want to be down in the query language. We also have core areas like what's missing in my critical updates. So for this example, I'm going to run into the critical updates because that's something I'm going to care quite a bit about is where the heck am I at on my patches, my patch status. So it's going to go do a quick scan across all the data. Now we just went and looked across all the log information and we're done. I mean, we've looked at it that quick over the wire. And we added a new feature for those that have been paying attention on the OMS. This next view perspective was just added over the course of the last 30 days based off of the feedback, meaning that our customers don't want to spend time in the logs quite yet. They still want an additional capabilities of the perspective. And so we'll continue to add these perspectives to help you drill down further and further. One thing that's interesting is we heard loud and clear as well this summer that average install time, just knowing how long a patch would take on average would be really useful. And there's a story that really sticks in my head. After we did the Ignite launch, we took a set of customers for different areas we wanted to invest in. DevOps, what's happening in the tooling front there, the open source and Linux community, patching. And I took different groups and we flew them to Redmond. And so inside Redmond, we have these innovation garages. They really are buildings with garage doors in them or rooms inside that are much like a garage to help kind of drive the startup-y culture. And so we're all in here kind of working and scrumming through the effort, and we flew some folks in, about 20 of them, just to talk about patch. And there's one fellow from Colorado in the healthcare industry, and it really hit home that as he was thinking about, all right, Jeremy and team, I need to be able to do a patch, and I'm going to do them on, I'll say, Patch Tuesday. But the challenge I have is when I bring my systems down to do the patch, I have to have people walk the floor to maintain what's happening around the patients while I do that patch. And so I really need to know how long the patch is going to take, because I can't run for 2 hours and then back it back. I need to know. And I may only do certain patches during that time. And so this notion of how critical it is for him to understand how long something is. And so what we did in this is by this exhaust, remember we're talking about security exhaust? Well, as more people start to use our patch and we start to get how long these patches are taking, we're getting real-time view that we can surface back as intelligence to you on how the patches are taking real-time. And so as you start to come to a new patch and go, how long is this taking? By connecting onto OMS, and later as we get Config Manager and everything else in, you'll start to get this community effect of that. So now let's dive in a little deeper into the search and look at computers. So here's the search capability. You can see up here, I'm not going to spend too much time up in the text, but I'm going to group by computer, because what I care about is how many computers this is really impacting. So we're going to go do a quick scan, and you know, within a few seconds, I can see that these machines are, these are the ones that I need to worry about with my patching. Now, remember I talked about correlation, the nervous center, security and config or control. They were on two kind of opposite sides. Here's where you start to see why you want to get all this data together. So now I'm looking at I've got a critical patch on these machines, and I'm a little concerned about these, so I'm going to go type security event computer in. Flip out over here. So now I'm going to go look for the security events in this set of computers. So I can see, do I have any of these that I'm worried about? Well, 1.6 million, whoa, that's a lot. What am I going to do with that? The first thing I want to call out is this very simple word, in. As we start to build the language, and we dropped, you know, we're able to do this real time, things like in or joins, as we make this language more powerful, really help us narrow down and correlate different data sets. So I've just moved from this from my config, where I'm typically looking at my patches, and now I've connected to my security information. So let's say I want to go look at, I'm going to group by activity real quick. So we're grouping by activity. And what you're seeing there is I'm able to go choose a function without having to go learn how to do the search language. That's what I'm showing you here, is that you can start to go use the UI and the experience without having to be the search function. Here I am with accounts that were successfully logged on. Now that's an important piece. There are accounts that are logging onto machines that I expect could be jeopardized because, if in this theoretical, I didn't get the patches done and there's an exploit. So now I'm starting to go take the information, move it together with the different types of data. So I've got these accounts that are logging on. Now, this notion I'm showing here is called facets. And facets allows you to start to go add different data sets that you want to have in here. So I'm going to go, since I'm using a security example, I'm going to go look at the account type. As I add the account type to this facet over on the left-hand side, you'll see now that I've added different types of accounts. So I want to go look at users, because these are what I think will cause a risk to my environment, to see if there may be an account that's been jeopardized. Or that I may need to go force a password reset on. I'm still down to 5,000 of these. Now, we may want to just do a pipe over measure count let's try account. Now, as I go just pipe that over to a measure count, I can look and say, well, without having to look through all my logs, it quickly just tells me these accounts that they may be suspect for me or at risk. So if I go back to the search I did before, here are the next step I'm going to show you is how we can start to take the data with management. And so we've done all this work with automation, this orchestration engine, and now we're integrating these components as part of the OMS suite, bringing them together. And so over the course of the last 2 months, we've been working on adding the alert capability. And so I may call this JDub accounts at risk. I'm going to use the current search query. You can choose whatever one you want, like if you want to look at AD or others. I'm going to look greater than, if this ever happens, drop out a little bigger. And yeah, I want to be notified if that happens. Oh. Accounts to watch, right? And me. And I want to remediate. Here's where the magic starts to happen. Now I can take any of those Azure Automation subscriptions that I have connected, and I can start to go in and fall into the runbooks that are specifically there. So as I look at maybe wanting to go fire off my own orchestration tasks, whether it was done in PowerShell, graphically, or within code, you can start to go connect these two systems together. And this is one of the key areas that when I chat with customers, I see that we're a bit missing is this notion of, hey, I got all the analytics, that's great, but you still need to take action. And so adding the PowerShell capabilities, adding the capabilities for you to start to leverage what we're doing with automation, the configuration state is a really powerful tool that starts to extend. We've got prototypes that are working where the teams have come in, they've hooked in with Slack, so they've got different environments that are now connecting with Slack and GitHub. They're able to use runbooks to go fire over and connect into other systems. So we've got webhooks that are coming down the line, further event management coming down the pipe as the teams innovate. But the point on this is now you're starting to bring together. I didn't have to switch over to another tool. I didn't have to go find another solution. I didn't have to move into a different experience. The data is together. And then I could pivot and start to query and look at the runbooks and how are my runbooks. How many times is this ran in the last? And you start to really bring this ecosystem together. So that's my alert side. The other piece that I'll throw in here real quick, because I get a lot of feedback on, I need customization. So let me go run this real quick and just say type syslog. Now, since we're using a security scenario, I'll go failed password and off a pop. Let's see if we got that. So the point that I'm running here is this fall we launched a brand new approach for how we handle Linux. You heard me mention earlier that we really partnered with the FluentD side of the house. And the core of what I was going to show here is that we've got Linux inside and we're able to use the ecosystem around FluentD. And so as I look across, as you look at some of the data that comes in here, I mean, it's a long text string that's really advanced. I mean, instead of going out and finding regex or other things, I need to be able to pull a custom field together to start to look at something. So it's just a long string of a custom log that's coming through that protocol. And so we have this notion called extracting fields. And so this is in preview. But now I have the capability where I can say I want to look for something very specific in a string, and I can call it JDub test with the custom field, and extract that. And we will use machine learning to go look through that string and start to go find where that shows up. And you can tune and have that learn, have it be educated further. How this is important to you is you start to go add your own custom strings, your own custom logs. You can do the same thing. You can get your own new field, just like I've been searching on security event or others. You can add your own field, whether it's a network device or a custom log that you're doing in your apps or that you have in your already existing tools. It's how you can bring it in. And so you'll see a lot of times then we'll get the feedback on, now I need visibility. So we've got a notion for dashboard. And inside the dashboard, we're really allowing you to now get your own view of what's happening inside the data and the searches that you care about. So I can go add a dashboard. And we'll call it failed password IP. And I can drag that out. And it's simply already coming in and starting to go look at, I can set values on this. We'll be able to tie, if I wanted to alert me over a certain number, it just helps you get your view very simply into the searches that matter in your environment. And you'll see there's already work, it's in private preview right now, on the ability to go build your own solution out back. So you've got dashboards, And then we're also now starting in private preview. And a handful of you have already come and talked to me about it, so I know you have your hands on it, about building custom solutions. And so over the course of the next wave of innovation that we do, you'll see us really spend time on building those custom solutions, ensuring custom logs, and ensuring for you to be able to pull that information. And now you can use your custom logs to connect to the PowerShell community to go fire off whatever work you need to do, all from one offering. So let me switch back over. So that's the demo I was going to give you, just kind of a quick view of how everything's kind of tied together. Pretty cool stuff. Brand new set of technology stack that we really do think will help jump you with your traditional environment as well as up to the cloud. Okay, so then where are we going? One of the last questions I often get is, what's up with the roadmap? Help me see what's coming down the pipe. And so on the innovation on OMS, this is really the core of the roadmap. Now, a bit of the challenge we have when we think about it is we've just spent the last 20 years at Microsoft really coming with these big bang releases. I'm going to come out with System Center 2012 and then System Center 2016. These large releases that allow you to look out 3 years and for me to forecast what features I'm going to bring to you. That is not how I'm building these projects or these products. Our teams are doing real-time development. We put together the scenarios that we're interested in, the customer investments that are important, and we turn them loose. In October, as an example, the team deployed to the production service over 348 times. Those are new features, new capabilities, tweaks from I didn't like one area, so I added another. And the core of that is just real-time continuous development and engineering. So as we think about when we launched this in May, each one of these months, here's some of the core elements that were delivered every month since then. And so it's really a proof point that we can start to do this continuous innovation across the board. Now, you may be thinking, how the heck am I going to keep up with all this tech, and how do I deploy it? And the beauty is, from a cloud services capability, you can choose which piece you need. So if you're desperately needing the greater than 1.6 terabytes backup support, you don't have to wait, it's there for you. But you don't have to choose the work that we've done, say, on wire data or other elements. Really, you get to choose what you come for on that. And so you saw us drop, for example, desired state configuration with the automation front in September, and then as an early preview. And then we spent the next 3 months until we were able to get it out in December. And then you saw the little bit of a GA announced there. So log ingestion, Linux log injection, the mobile OMS. You're going to see OMS on a mobile phone here in the next session after lunch. We've done a lot of innovation just to help bring that to you on every, whether it's an Android or an iPhone or a Windows, you've got it out there. And a really interesting fact, we knew it. When I was on the consumer side of services, you could see the peak of when people were using something like email in a consumer world or when they're browsing. It kind of started when they came to work, and then it would kind of narrow down as work got busy, and then the evenings it'd pick back up until dinner time and then pick back up later at night. Well, our machines are continually talking back to the service. As soon as we dropped the mobile devices in October, you could see the pattern change, where all of a sudden we've got more visibility, more logins, more people checking their services in the evenings and over the weekend. I mean, you could see it. It just went from boom. And we all know this. Our services don't go away. We have to worry about them day and night. And it's just nice to be able to open up the phone, flip in, and just check, are they healthy, and do I need to go in and troubleshoot a little further? And so I think that's where we're starting to see quite a bit of trend from there. On the horizon, so this is, you can feel free, we're going to publish these. You'll be able to get it online, and or feel free to take pictures. I see many of you are already. We'll continue down this innovation path, and this is how we'll continue for the services. On the horizon, you'll see us continue to invest in our protection, continuity, and analytics. Yet there's a slew of new areas that we look to add over the course of the next 6 months. Patch management. You'll see us. You saw me talk about patch as an insights and a data, but now we're adding capability that allow you to start to sequence patch, actually do the patch, connect to environments that have config manager or don't, and start to go drive these patches with orchestration and scheduling in a much more advanced way. Containers, we've dropped a preview of the insights in containers, which really is helping you get visibility into containers. Even if they're short-lived or long, you still need to have an audit trail of where they're at. We've got that core capability. You'll see the advanced threat detection start to show up this spring as well. And so these are all elements that that are on the horizon that I'd keep an eye out for. And if you see something that you're missing, please jump out onto User Voice, log into the product, jump in into User Voice and tell us, or jump out on the blogs and let us know from there. Lastly, I'd say let's take a look at what we're going to do on just know that System Center 2016 is launching launching later this year. From an engineering point of view, it'll come in this late summer, early fall is when we're expecting this will start to come in. We're on the tail end of the release and looks really good on the quality side. And you'll see us continue to go down this flighting or service capability through the URs. So once this drops, then we'll be able to start adding on top. The core promise that we've really set the team out is ensure that you've got a stable. A lot of you and a lot of our customers have just moved on to the 2012 R2 and have been stabilized. We don't want to disrupt that. We want to make sure you've got a consistent agent, a very stable management platform. I don't want you to have to go change out your management servers and all of that massively and have completely re-architectures. And so know that by design, we've really made sure that 2016 is a stable release for you. And then to end it, I just really appreciate your time. The conversation, as I told you as we started, was really about helping, giving you insight on how we're thinking about all-up management, both from this notion as you straddle this world of a traditional where you're at today and the pressure of what's coming in with the overall cloud and as we move to modern. You're seeing us invest in that on-premises tech still and continue to be that tried-and-true platform that you've been running on. We've got a great set of partners to help you with that. Yet we also are investing in these new cloud-based technologies that will complement and give you the ability to really move on to a new set of technology so that you've got some of this new cool stuff in your hands and really start to really push the boundaries with the environment that you're running. We've got blogs that are out there, so you can stay tuned on both blogs, System Center, and then this new OMS blog that we spun up. You'll see that these start to really be where we're going to drive a lot of the channel and communication. For the OMS, for our MVPs out there that are listening or that are in the room, we're really looking for you to help participate with us on that. So reach out to me and let's get through, let's get you plugged into that as we really look to help kind of really drive a lot of momentum around our OMS blogs. And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at MS Cloud Management. And with that, I appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the event.